All right, so let's dive into this case, Jackson v. Ryder.
Okay.
It's a 1995 Utah Supreme Court decision, and it really kind of gets into some interesting questions
Yeah.
about employer liability and workplace romance and, you know, all the things that come with that.
Absolutely. This case is a prime example of how messy things can get when you mix personal relationships with professional life. And it forces us to really think about where the lines are when it comes to responsibility. You know, like what can an employer actually be held accountable for?
Exactly. And it all starts with a married couple, Jeffrey Marie Jackson.
Right.
Marie starts working at Novell, this big tech company, back in 1988. And her manager, Grover Ryder, he kind of starts giving her this special treatment, promotions, bonuses, gifts, and they start an affair.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like a little office flirtation or something. This was a serious, full-blown affair. We're talking romantic rendezvous during work hours, even on business
Wow.
trips.
So how long did this go on for?
Well, it got even more complicated in 1991 when Marie breaks things off with Ryder and starts seeing another Novell employee, Clay Wilkes.
Whoa, so she leaves her manager and starts dating another coworker.
Talk about a tangled web, right?
Yeah.
This is where the legal drama really kicks in. Jeffrey, who's understandably pretty devastated by all of this, decides to sue.
Oh, wow.
And he doesn't just go after Ryder and Wilkes, the two guys involved. He also sues Novell.
So he's going after the company too.
Yep, claiming they were negligent in supervising both Ryder and Wilkes.
So his argument is that Novell had a responsibility to stop this from happening.
Essentially, he's saying they should have seen this coming and prevented the whole mess, you know, the situation that ultimately led to the problems in his marriage.
So did the court buy it? I mean, was Novell held responsible for what its employees were doing?
Well, this is where things get really interesting. The court actually sided with Novell.
Really?
They dismissed the claims against the company, concluding that they couldn't be held accountable for Ryder's actions and weren't negligent in the way they supervised him.
So even though all this was happening at their company, Novell was off the hook.
Well, it's a bit more nuanced than that to understand why we need to get into some key legal concepts.
Right, I'm all ears.
Like, scope of employment was what Ryder was doing? Was that part of his job or something totally separate? And then there's the question of foreseeability. You know, could Novell have actually foreseen that Ryder's actions would lead to the breakdown of Jeffrey's marriage?
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely curious to hear more about this scope of employment thing.
All right, well, let's start there. So, to really get why Novell wasn't held responsible, even though, yeah, you know, what Ryder did wasn't exactly professional, we have to look at Jeffrey Jackson's legal arguments against them.
Right, because he sued for both vicarious liability because of what Ryder did and negligent supervision on the part of, like, the company, Novell.
Exactly. And to really grasp the court's decision, we kind of got to break those down. Each one.
Okay, so, like, what does vicarious liability even mean when we're talking about this case specifically?
It basically means one person can be held accountable for what someone else does.
Okay.
In this case, Jeffrey was saying that Novell, as Ryder's employer, should be on the hook for, you know, the harm Ryder caused to his marriage.
But the court didn't buy that argument.
No, they didn't. And their reasoning goes right back to that scope of employment thing we talked about. Remember the Berkner test with the three parts to it?
Yeah, that helps us figure out if what someone did at work was like actually part of their job.
Right. And the court said Ryder's affair with Marie failed all three parts of that test. Like, having an affair with someone he supervised wasn't in his job description at Novell.
Obviously.
And even though some stuff happened during work hours or on business trips, the court was super clear that his motivation was totally personal, not to benefit Novell in any way.
So it's like saying Novell shouldn't be responsible for something their employee did that was totally outside his work, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like if you leave work and accidentally back into someone's car in the parking lot, your company's not responsible for that.
Yeah, perfect analogy. The court in Jackson v. Ryder was saying there needs to be this clear link between what an employee does and what they're supposed to do at work for vicarious liability to, you know, actually stick.
That makes sense. But what about the negligent supervision claim? Could Jeffrey say that Novell messed up by not knowing about the affair and stopping it?
He did, and this is where it gets even trickier. The court agreed that, yeah, employers definitely have to provide reasonable supervision for their employees, but they emphasized that this only applies to risks that are foreseeable.
So to hold Novell accountable, Jeffrey would have to prove they knew or should have known that what Ryder was doing was going to hurt his marriage.
Exactly. And the court said there wasn't enough evidence to back that up. They said, sure, employers might reasonably foresee workplace romances happening, but they can't be expected to predict every consequence of those relationships.
So even if an employer sees a workplace romance starting, they're not automatically responsible for any fallout that happens.
That's how it seems. The court didn't want to set a precedent that basically make employers into relationship police, always watching their employees' personal lives. That could get really out of hand fast.
Yeah, it would be super intrusive if companies had to keep tabs on who their employees are dating to avoid lawsuits.
For sure. It'd create a culture of, like, mistrust and suspicion.
Absolutely. So the court recognized that, yeah, Jeffrey was hurting, but they decided that holding Naval responsible would set a really bad example. It could change workplaces everywhere.
Right. The law has to find this balance between protecting employees from harm and making sure employers aren't held to impossible standards. In Jackson v. Ryder, they thought holding Naval responsible would swing things way too far toward holding employers accountable for everything.
All this really shows how complicated employer liability is. But I'm wondering, how does this case affect employers and employees now? Especially with all the changes in workplaces we talked about earlier, like social media and working from home.
That's a great question, and I think Jackson v. Ryder gives us some takeaways that are still relevant. First, it shows how important it is for employers to have clear policies in place about workplace relationships, especially between supervisors and the people they supervise. We can't just assume everyone knows what the boundaries are.
So employers need to be proactive and spell things out right from the start. But just having a policy isn't enough, right? They need to actually enforce it.
Absolutely. The court in Jackson v. Ryder even said that Novell didn't have specific policies about romantic relationships at the time. That probably played a part in their decision. Nowadays, most companies have much clearer guidelines.
So it's like they learned a lesson from this whole thing, a cautionary tale for employers.
Definitely highlights the need to be proactive. And it's not just about the policy existing. It's about making sure employees know about it and that it's enforced consistently.
So what else should employers be doing besides having a solid policy?
Training's huge. Employers should have regular training sessions for everyone on things like harassment, discrimination, and just appropriate workplace behavior. And this training should be specific to their industry and how their workplace actually functions.
So it's about everyone being on the same page, knowing what's okay and what's not.
Exactly. And lastly, I think Jackson v. Ryder shows how important it is to have open communication at work. Employers should encourage people to speak up if they have concerns about relationships or if someone's behaving badly.
Yeah, like creating a space where people feel safe speaking up. That can help stop small issues from turning into huge problems.
Totally. And when people feel comfortable saying something, it lets employers address problems early on before they become a legal issue.
That's a great point. We've covered so much today, and I feel like I get this whole employer liability thing a lot better now. It's crazy how one case like Jackson v. Ryder can bring up so many questions about how employees act, boundaries between work and personal stuff, and the responsibility of employers.
It's fascinating, for sure. And while the law helps us figure these tricky things out, it really comes down to people and companies creating ethical and respectful workplaces.
That's a powerful takeaway, for sure. I'm sure there's more to discover with Jackson v. Ryder, but before we wrap up, I'd love to hear your final thoughts on the case. What are the key things our listeners should remember?
It's interesting, you know, Jackson v. Ryder sparked all this discussion about how far employer liability goes, but it also teaches us a lot beyond just the law.
Yeah, it's easy to get lost in the legal details, but this case really shows how important it is to build a work environment where everyone feels safe and respected.
Exactly. And I think one of the biggest takeaways from Jackson v. Ryder is how it underlined the need for clear policies about workplace relationships, especially between supervisors and, well, anyone they supervise.
Like having a clear set of rules for handling those situations.
Right. A roadmap for how to deal with things when they get tricky. Having a solid policy sets clear boundaries for everyone involved.
And the court even said that Naval didn't have specific policies on romantic relationships back then.
That's right. And it probably influenced their decision. Nowadays, companies are much more likely to have detailed guidelines about all that.
So they kind of learned a lesson from all this, like a warning for other employers.
Definitely shows how important it is to be proactive. And it's not enough for the policy to just exist. People need to know about it, and it needs to be enforced consistently.
Okay, so besides having a good policy, what else should employers be doing?
Training is key. Employers need to have regular training sessions for everyone on things like harassment, discrimination, you know, basically how to behave appropriately at work. And the training shouldn't be generic. It needs to be tailored to their specific industry and the work environment.
Right. One-size-fits-all training probably won't cut it. It needs to apply to real-life situations people might encounter.
Exactly. And another crucial takeaway from Jackson v. Ryder is open communication. Employers should really encourage their employees to come forward if they have concerns about workplace relationships or, you know, if they see something that's not right.
Like making sure there's a culture where people feel safe speaking up. That can help prevent things from getting out of control.
Absolutely. When people feel comfortable raising concerns, employers can deal with problems early on before they turn into, like, major legal battles.
I think we've really learned a lot from Jackson v. Ryder today. It's a case that goes way beyond just the legal stuff. It shows how important it is to create a work culture based on respect, clear communication, and knowing what's expected of everyone.
I agree. It's a reminder that building a healthy workplace is a shared responsibility between employers and employees.
Well, it's definitely given us a lot to think about. Thanks for breaking down this case with me. It's been really insightful.
My pleasure. I always enjoy diving into these interesting cases with you. And for our listeners, keep those legal minds sharp.